So wonderful to be here with this morning, and thank you so much for the warm welcome and also for the treats that we've had. We had a wonderful trip down here yesterday and stayed in the Premier Inn and had a lovely meal with some friends last night at the Windmill, which was just beautiful, the view, and just thank you for spoiling us. And also just how wonderful to be able to come and connect with you every year or two. And we thank God for, you know, we've been in the UK for 15 years already, quite amazing. But I think our journey with the church goes back even 10 more years, because with the Guise we came and ministered to the church, and you started supporting us probably about 25 years ago. And to see how the work has grown, it leaves me breathless. And I just thank God for the partnership that we have and for your investment in the Word for the World, in prayer and partnership with us. So thank you very much. So we're going to start off with a lovely video clip, which I'm sure you will enjoy. And then I'll share a PowerPoint and then briefly from the Word. So this is about the Word for the World and how it is changing the world. And I'll tell you a little bit more about that so we can see if this sound clip will come up.
This is our world. It has a total of 7,600 languages. Only 711 of these languages have a full Bible translation. That is less than 10%. This means that more than 90% of the world's languages don't have a full Bible translation in their mother tongue. Many of these languages don't even have an alphabet. They cannot read nor write in their heart language. This is our world, and it is ravaged by Bible poverty. But there are unseen people taking action. They are answering God's call. They make the sacrifice, and they put in the years. They study translation, and through God's grace, they take on the responsibility of translating the Bible into people's heart languages. And through all kinds of trials and tribulations, they find the overwhelming joy of giving their people God's word in their own language. This is our world, and together we change it.
Thanks very much, Chris. Now I'm going to share PowerPoint as well. But just to say how that Bible that Julia held up this morning on the Yoya Yoya is the Gamo Bible. So it is here. And but we also went to a Guji launch, where I'll show you a slide just now, where there were 10,000 people gathered at the launch. So exciting to see people celebrating the Word of God in their own languages. So the Word for the World Bible Translators, we are excited about a Bible in every language. And our vision is the glory of God through transformed lives by the power of His Word in everyone's heart language. And our goal is to be instrumental in completing over 1,000 Bibles by 2050. And you heard the statistics, there's only 700 plus Bibles in amongst 7,000 languages. So we want to at least see 1,000 of those done, which is probably only about 20%, but we're trusting other agencies to help us. So our mission is to enable people, persons, and ministries to translate the Bible for their own people. So we want to empower communities to translate the Bible for their own people, and that's working very effectively in the Word for the World. So this 1,000 by 2050, it's amazing, it's a big vision, and the need is great, as you've seen. There's still, the next slide will show you, more than 3,000 languages without any scripture. So there's a great desire for those people groups to get the Word of God. And we're working collectively with other Bible agencies to try and ensure that Bible poverty is eradicated in our generation. By 2033, there's a massive drive to see a project started in every language. And that is exciting. And we want to be part of that. So just to share some of the beautiful stories, this is a beautiful friend of ours, Raymond. And, you know, he was a builder. And he came to our training in 2004 in Tanzania, one of many different students, about 30 students. But he had tenacity. The Bible was already sort of being started in his own language, so he couldn't work on that project. But he had a vision to help other languages, and he was also a pastor. And with his theological knowledge, he would help to check the other translators' accuracy of their translation. And I thank God that, you know, when I came here many years ago, we had worked in Malawi for 10 years, and then I think it was the first time I came to this church. And we said, we have a vision to see 20 languages in Tanzania that have a translation started. Well, we can praise God that with Raymond's help, and he was from the beginning, a Tanzanian man, we have 26 projects that are active now, and another 7 where we've already completed the New Testament in partnership with Pioneer Bible Translators. So 34 languages. It way exceeded my vision. So I praise God for that. And the Tanzanians are running with the vision. Raymond is now a fully qualified Bible translation consultant, and he got an MA just this year, and he's already 65. But he feels like a young man. He walks with a walking stick, but he's got tremendous energy, and he wants to see all those translations with the whole Bible. So he's working on these Old Testaments. And once in one consultation, we started this in Tanzania, group checking, where we checked up to 10 languages at once. We'd set them all together, go through each verse, and help them to improve their translations. And the missionaries there said, this is irresponsible. And Raymond stood up and he said, this is the best thing he's ever seen. All these teams learning from each other. And he says, if you think it's irresponsible, one day I'll do 20 together. So we'll see what that happens. But I've just been to Vietnam where I did 12 languages together, and that was a great success. So the way we work is we train our translators very effectively in principles of Bible translation and all the different aspects, even linguistics, theological training, exegesis, Bible knowledge. And we have now 1,034 students. Isn't that amazing? All learning to translate the Bible in their own language. And 104 consultants in training. So I'm in that space, and Julia's in the training department with the diploma students. She's working very hard as an editor. We have about 20 different languages that we teach our students in now. And Julia's a specialist in the SmartCat, where we can translate our materials using AI, artificial intelligence. And it comes up with a very good translation in the bigger languages, which then can be proofread and refined to train our students in a language that they can understand. So the world of Bible translation and even computer technology is really expanding our work very rapidly. So the consultant development is what I do. And, you know, if we're going to go for 1,000 languages, we need at least 200 consultants, fully qualified, theologically trained, can, you know, operate in Greek and Hebrew to check the accuracy of the translations. So we have already have 104 consultants in training, and our consultant number has grown to 47 already. So we praise God. Word for the Lord is really on the move. And we had this training in Nairobi where there were about 25 of our specialist consultants from all over the world, from Asia, PhD students. About 5 of them have got PhDs and more. And it's a growing number because we also give bursaries to upgrade their qualifications. But we have all these wonderful people that we train to be trainers of others. So Marnie and myself used to, last year we traveled to Nepal, Nairobi and Addis and trained about 30 students at each of those. But now we've got about 20 trainers that can actually run these workshops for 2 weeks, help to train our consultants and also to mentor the consultants as they are learning their skills from becoming a single language person to checking multiple languages. So we praise God for all of the consultant efforts because we want good quality translations. And Julia and myself had the privilege last year in December of going to the Roma launch. Again, a full Bible. And I had the privilege of actually checking the whole Old Testament, except for two or three books, online using Skype. Every week we would meet with the team and do another several chapters. And so we managed over 7 years to complete the Old Testament in the Roman language, 500,000 people. And there's actually a revival happening there. One man planted a church 2 years ago, in fact, our lead translator. And already there's 25 home groups with 10 people in each, and they're bursting at the seams. The Roma are so hungry for the Word of God. It's really exciting to see that. And 10,000 copies were printed, and we were able to be there at the launch. So we also realize, of course, that it's no good to give people a Bible if they can't read it. So we do a lot of literacy programs. And many people are coming to know the Lord through learning to read in their own language. And what are they reading? The Word of God. So we have literacy materials that focus them on Scripture. But we are also using literacy in very unreached areas, particularly in the Middle East, where you can't openly do a Bible translation project, but you can openly run a literacy class. And they are wanting people to learn to read. And so even the government in India are helping to fund our literacy work. But undercover, we are translating the Bible as well. And this is even happening in Pakistan and other places. So we praise God for the growth of Bible translation. So as of July 2024, we've got 351 full first-time Bible translation projects, which is amazing to see how Word for the World has grown. When I went to Malawi, we were the second project in Word for the World in 1991. So it's grown. Mushrooming. We've got, it says 985 full-time translators, nearly 1,000, that we support them every month, and the Word for All is blessed with resources to do that. We've got 7 first-time full Bibles, 4 full Bibles waiting in Ethiopia. I think it's actually 3 in Ethiopia and 1 in Malawi. So we're very excited about the Malawian one because it's the second full Bible in Malawi that will be launched early next year. And the Guis have actually supported that very faithfully from the tire business in Malawi. So they give a lot of their profits to help pay the translators. And they've actually also helped through your generosity as a church as well. But, you know, we've produced thousands and thousands of portions of Scripture for the Malawians to read as well. And we have 79 New Testaments that are available and published. So a new thing that's starting in the world of Bible translation is oral Bible translation, where there's so many oral communities that haven't got a writing system, and they're sometimes quite small language groups of maybe even only 1,000 people. And we can now, with computer technology, we can record what they have translated verbally. They read, or not read, but they listen to scriptures in a regional language or their national language, and then they listen to it and internalize it, and then can reproduce it very accurately through their own mother tongue. And it produces a beautiful natural translation. And Word for the World now has 51 oral Bible translations amongst those 350. So 300 written ones, old-fashioned style, and 50 new-style oral translations, which are really effective because the whole community gets involved. Because when you've got to learn a new writing system, it's complicated for these oral communities. But now they listen to the recording, they give their input, they're all, and they hear the Word of God every week as it gets translated. So it's a new approach, and I was privileged to speak at an oral conference in Bali just a few weeks ago about how Word for the World is training oral consultants. We already have about 5, and we've got 20 or 30 in the pipeline that can check these orally using, they listen to it on their computer software, and they make oral comments back to the team. So it's very exciting. You know, this was the Guji Bible launch. I can just see the huge crowd of people, the excitement. Julie and myself were able to fly in with a little light aircraft, and God opened the clouds somehow because we made a first attempt. We had to give up and go back to the airport, the main airport, and then went a second time, and then thankfully we were able to land on this little dirt runway. It was quite exciting. And we thank God that these Guji people, do you know how God blesses? It's incredible. There's about 3 million Guji speakers. 200,000 hard copies of the Bible were presented to them. That's $800,000 worth of scripture. And one donor did it. Isn't that amazing how God is so gracious and so abundant in his gifts to people. So we have mushrooming projects, and Julie and myself just went to Vietnam after going to Bali, where we did this oral conference, and I worked with 11 of the 12 teams that are working together in a cluster. And you can see that's the whole cluster there. There's 11 different languages represented there. And we've also got 5 oral projects in different locations and 5 new ones starting in the next few months. But with these 11 teams, you can't see too well, but I'm sitting in the far corner, and we've got 11 languages with beautiful English written translations of the back translation. In other words, exactly what they said in their mother tongue language. And then there's also Vietnamese ones. And the person next to me was able to understand all the Vietnamese ones and also check if the English ones were correlating. If I found something a bit odd in the English, I would ask him and he'd say, no, that's the English translator didn't do a good job. Or yes, this is a problem. So we were able to check all 11 languages, all sitting in a room like this, and work through 2 Thessalonians, Timothy 1 and 2, and Titus in 5 days. Such beautiful, organized people, and the office is running so well. And I mean, Kurbis, our international director, went there about 5 years ago to say, would you guys like a Bible translation project? And through the Word for the World system of, you know, training national people, we've got a beautifully running system there. And there's 100 languages in Vietnam. It's a communistic country, but we've managed to get in there and it's operating so well. We believe we'll start 50 projects in the next 2 years or so. Just the passion of the people, and also the urgency that Jesus is coming soon. We need to get the Bible in every language. So without faith, it's impossible to please God. And we are a faith-based organization. Some people think we're crazy. How do we think we can do so many languages? But we trust in God. If he gives us the capacity and the people to train, we'll train them and trust God for the resources to finish a Bible in every language. So together we can change the world. And we have seen it, even as a church, together with us, you've seen how God is at work in his world. So we give him all the praise. There's some prayer points just for wisdom for our 985 translators, that they will translate the Word of God wisely and accurately and good quality. And then innovation, that God will help us to train people more effectively in skills that they need for Bible translation and even in using technology. Do you know the Word for the World developed an AI system which is running 938 of our projects, where it's called computer-assisted drafting. So we have our translators with the computer there, and they are teaching the computer all the time the vocabulary and the grammar of the language. And literally, once they've done a New Testament with the machine, we believe it saves about 35% of the time it takes. So we're going to see full Bibles in 5 years rather than in 15. Amazing speed. And the Old Testament is drafted also rapidly by this artificial intelligence. You know, some people are very scared of it, and so are we. But actually, you know, if we can harness the technology with the power of the Holy Spirit and get Bibles produced in great quality with no spelling mistakes, and the computer is incredible in its memory to check, find a word that is an irregular word, whereas the human eye might take years to find it. So, lastly, as well, for provision, that God would help to keep on supplying what we need. And then protection. We're working in quite a few areas that are persecuted. In Myanmar, we have 11 projects that are flourishing in spite of the war. Very exciting as well. So thank you for your prayers. I'm not going to keep you very long with my preach. I wanted you, in a sense, to really just be immersed in what God is doing. Thanks. You can switch the PowerPoint off now. In the world of Bible translation. And that you as a church have so faithfully supported us. And we are really grateful for that partnership. And, you know, the money is one thing, but it's the prayer. And it was so encouraging to be at your prayer meeting this morning and to hear the prayers, but also to know that you are praying. Because our struggle is truly not against flesh and blood, but it's against the principalities and powers of this dark age trying to squash out the Word of God. The devil hates the Bible. And in the communistic times, you know, people used to try and smuggle Bibles in, and they're still doing that today, to try and get the Word of God. And our big target area now is China. south of China particularly, where we are trusting God to start several projects in the next few years. And we think AI might help us a lot because once they've done their drafting, it can be checked outside the country with our technology and with backwards and forwards communication via the internet and so on. So less need to group 12 people or languages together, but work with individual teams and sped up through technology helping us. So please pray for that. We want to harness technology to get the Word of God into everybody's hands. And even downloads on, you know, the YouVersion. All of our Bibles are on YouVersion and even an audio one. So you can click on that. And I praise God that even the Center Bible just recently had the full Bible converted into an oral format. So people who can't read can listen to the Word of God together with our literacy programs. So let's just turn briefly, if you want to turn in your Bibles, I'm just going to give a brief talk from the 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. So let me just pray before we read it. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. I promise I won't be more than 10 minutes. I don't know what time you normally close your service. It's fine. Okay, thank you. I guess the lunch will just have to wait. But we hope that you'll all stay for lunch afterwards. Let's just pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, it's so exciting to see your word going out in such large publications to so many people groups that don't have it yet. And so many are still waiting. So we thank you, Lord, for our Bibles in English. Pray that you would speak to our hearts through your word now. And Lord, let it come alive. Let it revive us, refresh us, and speak to our hearts in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. So this was a letter it's the second letter of Thessalonians. I checked some of this with our translation teams and it just touched my heart so deeply. And I want to just encourage you with it this morning. But also to remind you that, you know, Paul, Silas and Timothy were a great ministry team. And they had been to Thessalonica. It was their second missionary journey of Paul. And they faced great opposition there, a little bit like this knife crime thing, where they started preaching and teaching in the synagogue there, and then the Jews got some hooligans to try and fight them off, and Paul and them had to disappear very, very rapidly. But they were able to plant a church, and through word of mouth and through letters, Paul is now encouraging the Thessalonians to stand firm in their faith. And they were the first believers in Greece, which was another large area that Paul was ministering in. So let's just read what he says in chapter 2, verse 13 of 2 Thessalonians. But we ought always to thank God for you, brothers and sisters, loved by the Lord. And we would also like to say that about Hebron Church, that you are our brothers and sisters and you are loved by the Lord. And we ought to give thanks to God for you because God chose you as first fruits, it says, to be saved through the sanctifying work of the Spirit and through belief in the truth, which is the Word of God. He called you to this through our gospel, that you might share in the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. So then, brothers and sisters, stand firm and hold fast to the teachings we passed on to you, whether by word of mouth or by letter. May our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us and by his grace gave us eternal encouragement and good hope, encourage your hearts and strengthen you in every good deed and word. I'm just going to read chapter 3, verse 1 as well. As for other matters, brothers and sisters, pray for us that the message of the Lord may spread rapidly and be honored just as it was with you. So this is the word of God to us this morning, just to encourage us all. You know, the word that stands out to me when I read this passage is this strange term, first fruits, that God chose those Thessalonians, called them, they were loved by God, and he refers to them as the first fruits, maybe in Europe, or at least really that had embraced the gospel, and they were beautiful. There was a variety of people. All different types of fruit in a fruit bowl. If you can just take your mind to that fruit bowl on your dining room table. I don't know if it's anything like ours, but, you know, we love the big shiny apples and nice oranges and a few bananas, a couple of grapes. And then sadly, sometimes we find that there's a little rotten one near the bottom that hadn't been noticed, and it sometimes affects the few around it, so we have to turf it out. And we've also got a very big apple tree in our backyard. In fact, we've got two, and they are very productive. So my son, who's with us now, says, oh no, it's fruit season again, because we have these buckets and we have to sort through the good ones and the bad ones, and sometimes we spend quite a lot of time cutting out the bad parts of the fruit. But isn't it so wonderful to have a shiny apple or something lovely, juicy, tasty fruit? And we do love our fruit. It's so good for us. But the Bible talks quite a lot about fruit and first fruit. And we are supposed to be like that first fruit, that beautiful, wonderful fruit that God has created, and that we can be a blessing to those around us, and they can enjoy our flavor and our presence. So our salvation is beautiful. And Paul just reminds them, these Thessalonians, that God chose them as first fruits. So there was a command in the Old Testament that every year when you reap your harvest and your fruit, grapes, whatever it might be, your barley or wheat, you were to take the first fruits as an offering, as a wave offering before the Lord, and a gift. So that's also called the tithe in many parts of Paul's teachings, that first fruits, your offering, the first 10% of your income, you give it to the Lord's work. And Paul was saying that these Thessalonians to him are like that offering that he can give to the Lord, because he always ought to thank God for them and say, God, thank you for these Thessalonians. They are beautiful fruit of my ministry that have become mature and are doing so well. They are so beautiful because they were sanctified by the work of the Holy Spirit, he says. So when God chose us, he saved us through the blood of Christ and through the sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit. So each of us, our salvation is not by works, it's by grace and through the sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit, and also through the truth, the teaching of the truth, the belief in the truth of God's word. So without the word, people cannot be built up in their faith. They cannot grow. And Paul goes on to say that it was you received the word whether by mouth or by letter. So Paul was able to speak the very words of the living God. And, you know, he dictated his letters and people wrote them down. And this great move of oral Bible translation, which is expanding worldwide in most organizations, I believe is a wonderful way, a tool. When people hear, faith comes by hearing the word of God, it impacts their lives. You know, we are so busy sometimes looking at the different words and studying that word and this word, and we get bogged down in the linguistics of the translation and is how accurate it might be to the Greek. And then you'll hear messages about, you know, the active, passive, infinitive, verb, and all these things. But truly, it's the message that needs to be lifted out of the pages that touches the heart. So Paul was just saying, you've received the truth, believe it. And because the problem was amongst the Thessalonians, there were lots of false teachers. And if you cast your eye just above, it talks about the man of lawlessness in chapter 2. And there was a terrible sense that the Thessalonians were being confused. Some of the false teachers were saying the Christ has already returned. There's no point in waiting around. You've been left behind, or, you know, you just have to struggle on your own. And they were worried about this. And Paul was saying, no, that Jesus will not, and I'm saying it to all of us today again. Some people think, well, is Jesus coming very soon? And maybe the rapture's already happened and we've been left behind. But I want to tell you that the man of lawlessness, the 666 guy who's going to come, he first has to come before Jesus returns. So we know that Christ, the second coming has not happened yet, because this terrible man of lawlessness, the abomination that causes desolation, will be set up in the temple in Jerusalem, and he will cause terrible oppression of Christianity. And there's a lot of teaching about that in the Bible. So Paul was just reminding them, don't worry, Jesus hasn't returned yet, because this man of lawlessness, the beast, hasn't come. There'll be terrible evil and trouble in the last days. So, but we have this wonderful hope, and that's what Paul says to the Thessalonians, and that's where I want to sort of close and just encourage you that as fruit, first fruits, The Thessalonians were encouraged to stand firm in their faith. And that's what we read, to be a good example to those around them. So verse 15 says, stand firm and hold fast to the teachings we passed on to you. So we are to be a light and we are to know the truth in God's word so that we won't be tossed around by different kinds of doctrines and teachings. And even in our modern culture, in the, if you looked at, for example, the Olympic opening ceremony, you know, a very anti-establishment, very kind of, you know, the Bible is just an old, outdated concept. Maybe an old piece of artwork that we can joke about. But actually, this is the true living Word of God, and we need to honor it and love it and get to know it and teach it faithfully. That will keep us firm in our faith. So I love the way it closes off. So we are the letter that some people will, the only letter they will read, the only Bible they'll see is through our lives. So we need to become talking Bibles. You know, I believe that even through this oral translation method, people have to internalize the Word of God. They get to know the Scriptures and they can just share it wherever they go very accurately because they have memorized it and meditated on it. So we need to hide God's Word in our heart. And then it says in verse 16, may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father who loved us and by his grace gave us eternal encouragement. And I don't know about you, but it's so wonderful when you're a child of God that nothing, and I love the lady's prayer this morning. Thank you for your prayer. It was so encouraging. You know that God is able. God is mighty. He's above all the troubles. And I have a sense of eternal encouragement. You know, some people say you're an eternal optimist. Well, I love to trust God and to know that God is going to get us through and he's going to do more than we can ask or imagine. So we have this, through the grace of God, eternal encouragement. We can help those around us and good hope. Good hope as well. So we're not without hope in this world. We have the wonderful reality of Christ and his return, his soon coming return. And then it goes on to say, encourage you, may he encourage your hearts and strengthen you in every good deed and word. So that's the kind of example. That's the first fruits. That's the beautiful, shiny, brand new apple that we can be like that to the people around us, a good example. And hopefully, through our example and through our words and deeds, many other fruit will rise up as we plant seeds, as we share the word of God. And that's the way Paul ministered. He faithfully went and churches arose and he ministered to them and he planted hundreds of churches in his lifetime and they planted others. So in Timothy, he taught Timothy that you must find reliable people that are qualified to teach others. And so the church and the work of God grows. Just like so, we are the first fruits in Hebron this morning. God has called you, he loves you, and he wants this church to grow and us to be a light and to be an encouragement to those around us. And just in closing, verse 1 of chapter 3, it says, pray for us. And we need prayer. Paul didn't take his ministry for granted. He needed the power of God so that the message of our Lord may spread rapidly. And Paul, that was Paul's prayer, and be honored, just as it was with you. And let us pray, even in the UK and across the world, that the word of God would spread rapidly, just as it is. And Bible translation projects are spreading around the world. Do you know that Word for the World is starting a project, 1.5 projects every week? God is at work. That's 52 plus another 75, 100 projects a year. 100 new Bible translation projects where the church is being born and growing and hearing the word of God. So keep praying for us and let us pray for our nation and Europe that they will be reignited, that we are those precious believers that can be infectious by every good word and deed. So let me close in a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for your word to encourage us this morning. Lord, we are beautiful in your eyes, not through our own efforts, but through your grace alone, that we have been saved and sanctified. Thank you for that, Lord. We are so grateful for your complete work on the cross. And Lord Jesus, even you were described as the first to raise from the dead, as the first fruit, that wonderful example who gave your life for our, in our stead, that we too might become children of God as first fruits to rise from the dead and be one with you one day. Thank you for that eternal encouragement and the good hope that we have, that this world is not all that it's about. With all the chaos and trouble, help us, Lord, to stand firm, to stand on the word of God, to get to know it, to hide it in our hearts and to live it out, so that the world might be impacted by Jesus. And we just want to thank you for our wonderful salvation this morning. Thank you, Lord, for this church that has stood firm through many decades and continues to be a light in Ashton Manor, Log Ashton, sorry, Lord. And I just pray that you would bless this whole village and town and Bristol itself and beyond. Lord, we pray for peace in the nation. We pray that your word would touch lives more than ever before. And we ask this in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, God bless you. Wonderful to share with you. I'll hand back over to you, Rachel. Thank you.